This morning I want to talk about the tongue. The title of the sermon is The Power of the Tongue. We'll be looking at James 3. You may turn there ready if you like. For opening, I have a verse from Proverbs 11, verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Words are powerful, and we say so many things throughout the course of a day that we don't even think about what our words are saying sometimes, or where they may end up, or how significant they may be. One study would show that on a low average, we would speak around 6,000 words a day. Other studies say that people will speak up to 16,000 words a day. And some would argue that women talk more than men. However, other studies suggest that there's no meaningful evidence that that is the case. And quite frankly, while I'd like to excuse myself and give myself extra room, even if that were the truth, we as men have equal responsibility in the use of our tongue. An interesting thing to do would be for all of us to consider our personalities in regards to how much we like to talk. Some common phrases we catch ourselves saying or hearing are, he doesn't have much to say. You might say that about me sometimes. Or on the opposite side of the spectrum, we might have the, he loves to talk. Or he can't stop talking. People person. The gift of gab. A conversationalist. A chatterbox. Never at a loss for words. And maybe on a bit more negative side of things, a blabbermouth. Talks your ears off. Loud mouth or big mouth. You name it. It doesn't take long to form an opinion of someone in our minds by the words they speak or by how much or how little they do that as well. I tend to think I speak average or on the lesser side of things, although if you have ever visited with me on a one-to-one basis, that can change a little bit. Depends on the subject too, I'm sure. That being said, speaking less does not solve nearly all of the issues or dangers or the power of words. It might only take one word or the lack of more words to portray some very unkind and sinful attitudes. I'm sure that I have spoken unkind words to you at some point or another. And I'm sorry for that, but it was justified. No, it was not. That is our human tendency, though. Like, our words count, right? We want the last word, or we want people to really know how we really feel at their expense. We even want our words to cut a little bit, hit home. Words can build up or take down. Words can give life or do the opposite. I'd like to think about the power of God's words for a little bit. We have the Holy Scriptures. Those are God's words. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember, God also spake the world into being, the power of God's words. Contrary to the power of God's almighty and powerful words, we think about the fall of man into sin. How did that start? The serpent used words to cast doubt, which led to the first lie and the first sin, which led to death. Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Power of words. I praise God, though, that his words are the words of truth and his words are right. Words of power, words that heal, words that bring redemption, words of promise, words for us. John 1, verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's words. God's word has the answers to the use of our words. We have so many verses in Proverbs that speak of the tongue. We will look at some of those. But first of all, I want to look at James 3. If you haven't turned there, you may turn there now. We'll use that as the springboard for our message. So James 3, I'd like to read the whole chapter. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I believe this passage is for every one of us this morning, and always. The first verse may be bringing a bit more of a direct challenge to teachers of God's word. The Amplified Bible says it this way: not many of you should become teachers, serving in an official teaching capacity, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged by a higher standard, because we have assumed greater accountability and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly. I think we understand that. The power of words and influence, and the more we talk, the more chance of us saying the wrong things. And if we say lots of wrong things, the greater the effects to others. But teacher, preacher, parent, children, it doesn't matter. We all have a responsibility to control our tongue for the glory of God. As the sermon title notes, the tongue is powerful. How about we use its power for good and to the glory of God? Put that power to building up, and so on. The scripture commands us to guard the tongue and use it for good. The tongue really tells others a whole lot about us personally. It should tell us something about ourselves as well. We will run across that frequently throughout this passage and also in multiple other Bible verses that we'll be reading. Verse 2 reminds us of how prone we are to sin and failures. For in many things we offend all. There's so many things that constantly remind us of our sinful tendencies. And by the grace of God, we need to bring them into subjection. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We've heard that list before. It's an ugly picture of our humanity. Praise God, we can have victory. But the end of verse 2 uses some pretty strong language. It says, it really is saying that the most important key to victory in our life is having control of our tongue. If we can control our tongue, that means we have control of our heart. What is in our heart very quickly comes out through our words. And perhaps not even verbally at first. We may be conversing in our minds the power of words. We can also persuade ourselves pretty drastically with the conversations in our minds, right? Gives two examples of little things that control big objects, or you could say little things that make big results. We know what a horse bit is, that object that goes into a horse's mouth, and the horse rider can teach that horse to do exactly what he wants it to do just by the pressures and movements of that object. Huge ships that take huge engines to move them, and powerful winds and waves can push them about. But an even smaller object, the helm, which operates the rudder, which the rudder generally isn't that enormous either in comparison to the ship, but that small object steers that ship where it needs to go. You can read stories of ships that lose rudder control and they are virtually helpless. That power, the power of the tongue, is so vital and important, but it can be used for amazing things or such destructive things. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We had that theme song that we sing, One Small Fire Will You Start. The song talks about kindling a fire of good in the hearts of people that will burn for Christ. Too often our words kindle fires that get out of control and burn all the good down, burn the bridges and the relationships. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Next verse talks about the dominion that God gave man over the animals. You go to the zoo, and you see animals that are in cages and controlled by man. You see amazing tricks that animals can do. Some are taught to say words. Probably the most outstanding thing that I've ever seen was the dolphin show, things like that. It's just really amazing what animals can be taught to do. But our tongue, we just can't seem to control it. We say and mean good one moment, and the next we are devouring and tearing to pieces. A quote from Matthew Keller, "The power of speech is unfathomable. Gossip can never be undone. It is cruel, divisive, and demeaning. It alters the way people see another person forever. It robs the victim of dignity and opportunity." Proverbs 18, verse 8. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Can you believe that of yourself? It's hard to believe that we could be that cruel with our words. We actually enjoy the deliciousness, the good and satisfying feeling of spreading rumors and sowing discord, or whatever it may be that we are using our words for. Frederick Buchner quotes from him, "To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you." Another similar quote from Matt Mitchell in his book, Resisting Gossip. "Delicious morsels are the most addictive snacks that we like to devour quickly. It tastes great going down, but it has lasting and poisonous effects deep down in our bodies." Our heart is so deceitful, and our words show it. We cannot tame it and keep it in check. It's just not possible when our heart is not right and God is not controlling our life. That tongue will let loose. It will bless and curse and do as it chooses. It really is a true sign of where our heart truly is. Can there really be a blessing and cursing at the same time? Can we really build brotherhood if we say one thing to this person and another thing to someone else? Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You know, water mixes. Contamination makes it all bad, or at least polluted and not 100% pure. It can't be truly refreshing and nourishing. Have you ever wondered why your good words don't mean anything and aren't uplifting? I have. Perhaps I need to look into my heart. Perhaps that there has been a loose tongue that no one can trust. Another quote, this one's from Unknown. "First learn the meaning of what you say and then speak." "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." I think we would all agree that words are powerful, and they can be powerful in two different ways, like we already talked about. I have some verses from Proverbs that I want to read that show us the power of evil words. Proverbs 16, 27 through 30, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. And you can turn to Proverbs 26. There's quite a few in that passage. I think we'll read Proverbs 26, verses 17 through 28. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a posture covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. We could read on and on. There's many verses in the book of Proverbs that talk about the terrible powers of evil words. You know, there are consequences or fruits, you could say, of wicked words. We know the short answer and end result is death. Proverbs repeats over and over again that it ends in ruin, utter destruction and misery. Even still, we talk ourselves deeper and deeper into ruin at times because we are the only right one and everyone else is wrong. This will lead to physical and spiritual demise, not just the big mouths and the know-it-alls, but also the gossips and deceitful liars, evil words. Well, God intends for his people to use powerful words that bring beautiful and wonderful results. And I want to read some verses now that show the power of wise words. Proverbs 20, verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverbs 16, verse 13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Proverbs 22, 11, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Proverbs 12, 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. In Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Proverbs 16, verse 24, pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. What a contrast from evil words to wise words. Wise words bear fruit as well, obviously, and some of those were mentioned in the verses we just read. Sweet and healthy physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We could have talked about the opposite of that with evil words, the physical, spiritual, and emotional drain it puts on people. Wise words don't do that. They heal and they build up. Proverbs also tells us that wise words will keep us out of trouble. Have you ever barreled headlong into a conversation only to realize you got yourself into a terrible situation? Wise words keep you out of trouble, and they can help to keep others out of trouble as well. Wise words are a healing balm and such a powerful tool for the kingdom of God. There's wisdom from above. We cannot do it on our own. And that is what the latter end of James 3 tells us, those verses we read earlier. It really is a matter of the heart. We need wisdom from above. If there's someone in your life that you would consider wise and steady and just overall giving a positive influence to you and to everyone they are around, where does that come from? You will find he talks carefully and purposefully. The rest of his life lines up with what he says. In meekness, he will be giving you the most powerful message. Sometimes we say that actions speak louder than words. That is true, but without the control of the tongue, actions are meaningless. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Conversation here means conduct. Our speech has so much to do with our conduct and control of our life. It takes spiritual wisdom, wisdom from above, wisdom from God, to be able to live a life of control and steadiness. Our tongue is not smart or wise. It needs control, and that is our heart. So if our heart has bitter envy and strife, we need to face the hard facts that our tongue is going to be saying things it should not be saying. We better take an inner look. I should not glory in the fact that I could be right, but rather face the hard truth that I'm carnally minded to and need the power of Jesus to control my heart and my lips. Reckon with the fact that words that divide and tear each other down are not from above. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil word. That's some very, very serious words for us. Hard words need to be said at times in building. But if it brings about confusion and evil works, we need to take a look at our heart. The wisdom that I believe I am speaking is it first pure? What is my motive? Is it seeking the furtherance of the gospel? And is it seeking the furtherance of God's kingdom and brotherhood building? Is it seeking to build relationships, to heal wounds and restore broken spirits? Words that are guided by pure wisdom and have no ulterior motives, they have very little to do with us, has mostly to do with others. We want our words to lift us up and make us feel good, while it should be the very opposite desire in our heart, to lift others up, have a pure heart. Next thing that mentions is peaceable. How do you speak peaceably? When we believe or feel strongly about something, we tend to get very vocal, maybe very loud and obnoxious about it. That does not bring peace. Peaceableness looks for ways to satisfy and appease others. It is making compromises, not against Scripture or the words of God, but all those personal vendettas and personal ideas that we expect everyone else to adjust to. How about my view become more like yours? Brotherhood seeks the good of each other, not my own personal agenda. Gentle, having or showing a mild, kind, or tender temperament or character. Are you jumpy? Are you just waiting for that slip of someone else so that you can pounce and correct? Or maybe you have been hurt and lashed out at by someone else and are extremely jumpy because of that. A gentle person absorbs and gives it to God. A gentle person will not lash out with his words. Evil and unkind words will not start with him, and neither will they continue with him. Gentle people just don't get riled up. Lord, give us gentle hearts. Easy to be entreated. This, I believe, goes hand in hand with gentle. Easy to be entreated folks care about how others feel. That's easy to say about others, isn't it? Now I look at you and I say or think that you really ought to care about what I have to say or what I have to think. No, yeah, my personal responsibility is to care about what you have to say. That's your personal responsibility too, to care about what others have to say. Easy to be entreated people are easy to communicate to, and in fact, they desire to know my point of view so that they can become better people. That's a heart of humility, meekness of wisdom. Next wise attitude is full of mercy and good fruits. When someone sins or fails to be a wholesome person in action or speech, how do we correct? Correction is needed, but do we do it in love and mercy? We say and do things that bring good results for that person. We don't seek to make the fruit even worse. We seek to build up and restore. That's what Jesus does. If I sin in words with those who have sinned, or to those who have sinned, I become a condemned sinner myself. Speak in mercy and bring about good fruits. Without partiality, we would never do that, would we? How could I be partial? There is not one of us that is not partial to ourselves. That is our first tendency. However, with the wisdom of God and with an open heart to others, we can sort through those things by focusing on the good of others. We seek to build and restore, no exclusions. Hypocrisy. I wonder why that one is the last one. Maybe no reason. But you know, we can say and do everything more or less right, but if our heart isn't right, Even the good that we had done becomes useless and tainted, just like the sweet water and bitter. Our hearts are quite deceitful and cunning, and to a point can control that tongue even still, but we know that our hearts are desperately wicked, and we need to take a good, honest look at ourselves and truly compare it with God's word. I, brothers and sisters, need to let God take control of my life. I've been convicted that not everything I say throughout my normal day-to-day activities really, truly is always sanctified. I pray for purposeful and upbuilding words. I pray that for you. It is such a blessed picture of peacefulness when hearts and words seek for peace together. I was trying to think of the right words to lead with us. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown to peace of them that make peace. I want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you to be purposeful in our words and our actions. The power of words is so amazing. It can help prevent volatile situations. And if you find yourself in a volatile situation, you can be key. You can be the key to sowing peace by your words. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 16. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Dear ones, we have it in us. No, not on our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we have the power of the Lord Jesus to speak the truth in love. We have the power of the Lord Jesus to be stable and not tossed to and fro. We have the power of the Lord Jesus to work together and build each other up for the glory of God. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you give us power, Holy Spirit power, to live victorious lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to have a pure heart, a heart that leads to good words, healing words, powerful words that are for building and for glorifying you. Pray that you bless our congregation. We thank you for each one. Pray for those who are feeling unwell and who are traveling, whatever their situation may be. Pray that you would build them up, help us to build each other up. Pray you keep us safe this week. Pray you would bless this new school term coming up this week as well. Be with the children and the teachers, all those involved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.